This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. Now, in this month's magazine watch, we feature two very exciting magazines from Mongoose Publishing. They are Time Out KL and Expatriate Lifestyle. Ian Johnson, editor of Expatriate Lifestyle, will join us very, very shortly. But in the studios with us right now, Lim Chi Wah, editor of Time Out KL. Welcome back.
Hello.
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 Now, tell us, what is this month's feature story?
One word, coffee. It's a very, very...
familiar exciting subject.
Yes, it is. It is. We have done a coffee issue last year.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, so...
When you say last year, you mean December or November or like within the past 12 months?
Middle of the year.
Okay.
But this year is slightly on a different take. I think last year when we did the whole cafe issue, it's a very straightforward, these are the best places for you to get coffee in KL, mm-hmm. and these are the best cafe food in KL.
Yeah.
But since last year, within the last 6-12 months, there's a lot of things happening in KL, a lot of new cafes are actually opening up. So this issue, we talk more about the trends, the culture itself, mm-hmm. the coffee culture itself, and also we look at the third wave coffee movement that's been hitting KL.
I'm sorry, third wave?
Yes, third wave.
I must have missed the first and second wave,
yeah,
clearly.
I certainly did. Okay, so let's just start with what you've decided to focus on, three focus areas, starting with the trends. What are the trends in coffee?
Trends in the sense that you get a lot of new cafes opening up. So you have cafes that are very, they are much more particular about what kind of coffee they serve, how they serve it, and how they brew it. So there are a lot of cafes right now that you don't just go for espresso-based coffee, which is your typical machine kind of brewing method. You can choose how you want coffee to be brewed. You can have it in French press, you can have it in AeroPress, you can have it in siphon and ceramic drip. And
Are Malaysian consumers...
He's speaking French.
Yes. Are Malaysian consumers sophisticated in terms of coffee consumption? I mean, not being a coffee drinker myself, I'm not very sure.
That's a lot of interest in coffee, and a lot of people, when you read up on coffee, it gets more and more interesting, and a lot of people want to try out certain things. And also one of the things that actually propelled the whole third wave coffee movement, it's about this whole thing about single origins coffee, where single origins coffee, it's about coffee that's sourced from one particular estate or farm, and the best way to taste the pure flavor of the coffee is to brew it in a specific method, either using the AeroPress to extract the coffee flavors.
What is the significance of getting it from one farm?
It's just so that the taste profile are much more singular. So yeah, they are cleaner,
right,
and they are purer. But
it
now
it seems like we're speaking about what people say about wine, I guess. It seems to be heading in that same direction.
It's coffee has become much more artisanal, mm-hmm. and at the same time much more scientific, because different brewing methods means like different way of extracting coffee. And you talk about extracting coffee, you talk about the quality of the beans, how is it roasted, how much time, how fine you should grind it, because it all affects the flavour.
How do you order your coffee? Just out of curiosity, I mean...
For listeners who may not be familiar, because Lim Chi Wah right here, he's a bit of a coffee connoisseur.
How do you have your coffee, Chi Wah?
Nobody's judging. It's fine.
No, I just go out and ask for either. Most of the time, I either go for a long black or Americano. Mm-hmm. That's how I have it in the morning. But sometimes
I know that. I know those.
Yeah, but sometimes I have a macchiato. That's so that it doesn't make you feel bloated, because it doesn't have so much
right,
liquid.
Okay.
So
I was under the impression that, you know, I'll have this or whatever it's called.
But you want it pressed in a particular way.
Roasted for two minutes only.
No,
after which, press it, you know.
But I mean, all this kind of brewing time, the barista should know all this, and they should be able to brew it according to the way you want it, according to the way it should be. But if I do go to a cafe and they specialize in single origins and you know, certain, let's say they have this particular beans from Toraja, I would want those beans to be brewed differently, either AeroPress or French press, because so you can get the pure flavors of the coffee rather than just a normal espresso.
That's very impressive. I abhor coffee that's roasted after 4.5 minutes.
Of course,
I'm not that snobbish.
When we talk about that first wave and second wave, yeah. I mean, in the first wave, am I wrong to assume that that would be referring to the kopitiams, or are we not even talking in that dimension at all?
I mean, the first wave, your very beginning of coffee, where you know people tend to brew coffee in a very dark roast. So sometimes the the taste get compromised. And a lot of times, the first wave of coffee, they brew using layers of margarine and sugar in it because the quality of beans are not that good. And then move on to the second wave of coffee where you have specialized chains like your Starbucks and Coffee Bean, and
right.
they start doling out your Americanos and your Frappes and your baristas shouting out your
and
name.
And that's when I guess we became familiar with spending about 10, 12, 13 ringgit for a cup of coffee,
yeah.
right?
And then the third wave, it's about how we get even more particular in the sense that people are much concerned not just about the final drink itself, but the whole entire process of how coffee come about, from the sourcing of the beans to roasting itself. So a lot of third wave cafe or third wave roasters actually source their own beans from farm directly, and they roast their own beans.
It's practically a coffee tsunami.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the coffee culture, and in this month's feature of Time Out KL, in the studio with us is Lim Chee. Well, we'll be right back after this. One After 909 by the Beatles, right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's the Evening Edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. And of course, we're speaking about this month's issue of Time Out KL. And the feature is Third Wave Coffee, the Trend and the Cafes, talking everything from scientific brews to Kopitiam, KL's original cafe culture. And of course, we spoke about the many ways, of course, coffee is prepared. Also, there's a very interesting feature on, the origins of KL's coffee culture, Kopitiam.
Yes, Kopitiam. We all love our Kopitiam. And I think if you want to really talk about coffee in KL or in Malaysia, in fact, you can't not talk about Kopitiam because that's the very first cafe culture in KL.
Mm.
And sadly, a lot of these places are either closing down. Most of them are closing down because, you know, either the shop lot, some developers have bought over a shop lot and they find it very difficult to sustain the rent, or this that the they don't have young people to take over, and so they just face out.
Well, there's also the situation where it's sort of reincarnated, isn't it? So you have these old style coffee shops.
Well, this,
yeah. I mean,
the modern setting. One.
You mean Kopitiam inspired cafe?
That's right.
It's very different.
But what sparked that whole movement, this Kopitiam inspired cafes? Because it seemed like one morning you woke up and, you know, there's one very fancy looking type Kopitiam, and suddenly it's, you know, right next to a bank.
Yeah, I think it's a lifestyle thing, because I think the whole idea, people like to go to a cafe because you get a choice of different cuisine, and you get coffee and you can sit down for a long time, either using the Wi-Fi or power supply, or you do your work. But I think we need to look at Kopitiam as a cultural institution, not so much as a restaurant, a place where you eat and drink coffee, because for this article about the Kopitiam culture, we actually have a documentarian, Mahin Bala, who goes to some of this, some of the old time coffee shops in KL, and you know, just talk to the people there and just stay there for a whole day and see how things work out. And you see that a lot of these places are actually like a safe house for the older generation, because it has become part of the routine. They go there. They order a cup of coffee, they go to a newspaper, they catch up with friends. And a lot of times, it becomes a safe place. It becomes a place where they feel that they belong, because maybe they have children, have work, and then they just come to a place where they have like-minded people that themselves.
Of course, sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name.
True. But it's quite sad that places like this, the more of them close down, the lesser that all this the old generation have places to go to. And this one particular place in Pudu that we have visited, it's actually quite a nice one, because it used to be a quite robust Kopitiam, but now a lot of the stalls have moved out, so they have just a small counter serving coffee and drinks. And the thing is, all the senior citizens, they were there, and then they were playing chess. And they were just, it's such a robust, there's arguments and there's people gathering around. So, and sometimes there's money involved, but it's just such a
those
such
are the fun chess games.
Yes. but I think it's sort of, it's like a gathering ground, mm-hmm. and it's sort of where people discuss politics, current affairs, everyday news.
It's a social
institution, and it's quite sad to see places like that go.
Well, this is the thing, because on the one hand, you have a lot of these old school kopitiams that by default or due to circumstances, they're closing down, yet you see these very, you know, modern cafes propping up. There seems to be that discrepancy, because if you were really into coffee, then both sides of that spectrum would actually emerge victorious.
But But I think they are two very different. If you're going to talk about coffee, as in the cow coffee you can get in both places, it's a very different approach to coffee. Mm. One, it's your very scientific, very gourmet, very artisanal, you know, single origins and all this. And the other one, it's a very homey, nostalgic way of brewing coffee, you know, in that coffee shop thing, and then
I'm not even sure whether it's the method of brewing coffee that draws people to.
I thought that given this emergence of this third wave coffee, that of course the older generations would actually benefit from it in some sort of way. But clearly that's not the case. Clearly, a lot of these new coffee places are, doing quite well, considering there are more and more of these places mushrooming up.
But a lot of all these new places they also place some sort of emphasis on aesthetic, on how beautiful the space is, because, you know, a lot of times people go to a cafe so they can take Instagrams of themselves or Instagram of the place.
Sure.
So it's quite an Instagram culture, quite a aesthetic culture. So sometimes you wonder whether this coffee culture is booming because of
the vanity.
Because of vanity, or because of Instagram factor, or really because that people really appreciate coffee in its finer qualities.
And it's certainly interesting that people have enough disposable income to spend on these types of things. Because I think, just walking around in Bangsa, I mean, there's some of these coffee places, that there's a lineup outside of these places. And it's strange because, you know, you'd see lineups for banana leaf, you'd see lineups for all sorts of other types of foods. But, you know, coffee has certainly gotten a niche audience on its own.
It is. And a lot of cafes are opening in slightly more unexpected places. As I said earlier, there's this really good place in Sentul called Three Little Birds. Mm. And then there's another one in Hatama's area called Five Cups, if I'm not mistaken, which specializes in fair trade.
Well, you don't want to give it all. Coffee. You don't want to give it all away. You want you want folks to run out and get this issue of Time Out KL. But perhaps very quickly, you want to tell us what else we need to look out.
We also have a video of Kopitiam, actually, about we interview some of the people to ask them where is Kopitiam going, what they like about Kopitiam. So you can find it on YouTube and just Google Time Out KL.
I actually for a second there thought that he was referring to an old sitcom series back in the
90s. No.
I get what you mean.
It's a documentary, a short video documentary that we did for this issue about Kopitiam.
Terrific stuff. For more on that and coffee, Scientific Brews and Kopitiam KL's original cafe culture, you want to read that in this month's issue of Time Out Kuala Lumpur. We've had Lim Chee Wah, the editor, speaking to us about that. Thank you very much, Chee Wah.
Thank you.
Of course, after this, that's not all from Mongoose Publishing. We'll be speaking to Ian Johnston, editor of Expatriate Lifestyle. We'll have more on that very, very shortly. But first, Going Underground by The Jam, right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. We're on when you're off. Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zion.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh.
And of course, we're continuing Magazine Watch with our friends at Mongoose Publishing. Earlier, we were speaking to Lim Chee Wah, editor of Time Out KL, about coffee and cafe culture. Yeah. And of course, now in the studio with us is Ian Johnston, the editor of Expatriate Lifestyle. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
It's the first time on the program, which is very exciting. Now, of course, before we get into this month's issue specific, of course, as I mentioned, it's the first time you're on the show. Tell us a little bit of a brief background on Expatriate Lifestyle. And, of course, its content.
Well, Expatriate Lifestyle has been around for 11 years now. So we had our 10-year anniversary in 2013. We're a lifestyle publication covering travel, food, personalities in Malaysia, education, homes, and everything, basically everything that encapsulates the expatriate lifestyle in Malaysia.
Right. And is a target a specific expat? I mean, do you do research with regard to the expat community here in KL? Is it targeted towards specific?
We are targeted at expatriate market. Obviously, that then draws in lots of people that kind of enjoy the international lifestyle and the things that an expatriate life kind of brings with it. In terms of research, knowing numbers and things like that, that's obviously difficult. We do like to think that we reach 100,000 readers with each issue. That's our readership claim. That's our estimation. That's obviously spread all across Malaysia, a mix of expatriates and also locals.
And of course, you've been involved, I was speaking earlier off air, you've been involved with the magazine for quite some time now. And how long have you been editor now?
I've been editor since January, but before that I was junior editor with the magazine. I was interning on the magazine, so yeah, I've kind of lived that magazine life for a while.
You've
now.
You've grown up on the magazine.
I have, yes. Yeah.
Cool. And now, you know, I mean, it's of course very curious. When you're an editor of the magazine, you have your own ideas as to what sort of direction you want the focus of the magazine to be. Have you had any specific ideas about where you want the magazine to go? Because clearly when you talk about a lifestyle magazine, it's a very, very wide scope.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing we're really trying to do this year is focus on personalities. So yes, we can talk about these broad subjects, but actually there's some really amazing personalities in Malaysia. The fact that they're expatriates here, that they've come here because of their job or something like that, it makes for these really interesting stories. So we want to focus on those people, on those personalities, and everyone loves it when they see their face on the cover and they share it with their friends. You know, it gets that nice community feeling.
Now, give us a brief about the expat community projects. It's actually this month's feature. So in KL, how many projects are there exactly?
Well, there's so much going on. We've focused on five with this issue. But if you look at all of the expatriate associations and the international groups in Malaysia, there's things going on every week. The five we focused on this month for our May issue are KL Photo Tours, which is a group related to the Malaysian Australian New Zealand Association, which walk around KL looking at old parts of the city and photographing them. We've got WordWorks, which is a creative writing workshop. The TTDI Edible Project, which is getting a lot of coverage at the moment, a community garden. Plate Culture, which is a kind of underground restaurant kind of concept. And Marta's Kitchen in KL, which is this lovely Spanish lady teaching paella and cooking and things
like that. Very nice.
Yeah, considering there's so many things going on, how do you hone in on what to focus on?
It involves some research. These are some of the people that we knew, some of the people that we knew through associations and recommendations. So we obviously have good connections with the expatriate associations in Malaysia. People recommend, hey, you should go and see this person. This person's doing a good job. We thought we had five interesting, diverse projects.
But of course, you know, you're just referring to some of those projects, everything from the KL photo tours to the edible project. I think it certainly appeals to the folks who aren't exactly expatriates themselves, and it's very appealing because they're so broad in what they actually do.
Yeah, absolutely. We like this focus that there are internationals and expatriates doing amazing things here. But these aren't exclusive expatriate projects. These are things that Malaysians are involved in, Malaysians can get involved in, and it's, not just for expatriates.
Terrific stuff. We're speaking to Ian Johnson from Expatriate Lifestyle. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors, right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Chinatown with Wild Nothing right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. We're continuing our magazine watch with our friends from Mongoose Publishing. In the studio with us right now, Ian Johnson, editor of Expatriate Lifestyle, was speaking before about, the expatriate community and also the feature this month. There were about five features. Let's focus in on one of those features. Earlier off air, we were speaking about, paella. And of course, there's this very, very interesting thing happening. I think you can cook for about 70 or 80 people, or there's a class to it, right?
Yeah, it's run by this Spanish lady called Marta Alonso, and she has an enormous big paella dish to cook for, I think, 70 to 80 people, she said. So she has classes, she gets all the ingredients in, you go and learn how to cook this paella, and then, of course, at the end of the class, you taste the paella.
I mean, did you find out from her what kind of response she gets from, say, the local community?
She's just starting out, so it's a very new class. I think at the moment she's only been kind of doing it with friends and approaching friends. So we'll have to see, now that the magazine's out, see what the coverage she gets.
Right. What is interesting is, of course, you have a lot of, Spanish or Spanish-influenced restaurants emerging in KL, and of course something like this would tie in quite nicely. Also, there's the KL photo tours. Tell us a little bit more about that, because in the world of selfies and Instagrams, I don't think this is that type of tour.
I cannot believe selfie made it on.
You never know.
To the program. All right.
No selfies, as far as I'm aware, but it was. It's run by four or five women from MANZA, which is the Malaysia Australia New Zealand Association, and they're just photography enthusiasts. They've learned how to take photos themselves. They decided they could combine their love for photography with exploring a bit more of Kuala Lumpur. So they're doing tours around some of the maybe lesser known areas for expatriates and, I guess, for some locals. So the tour that we joined them on was around Kampung Baru. where they went and they met some of the market traders, took photos of some of the things happening away from the tourist sites, away from the side of KL that you maybe normally see.
A very nice way to learn about photography as well as the city.
Absolutely. And of course, you mentioned MANZA, which is the Malaysia Australia New Zealand Association. I imagine that for a magazine like EL, there are a lot of collaborations with these types of organizations. Are they very active, and are there many of them?
The organizations are very active. There's pretty much an organization or an association for most of the nationalities that are in Malaysia. So you have the British ones, then Irish, Scottish, all have their specific groups.
We've covered the UK pretty well, have we?
I think naturally, yeah, the UK is pretty well covered. But then there's also these Australia, New Zealand, Latin American Women's Association and things like that are all very active.
Terrific stuff. Also, we have the TTDI Edible Project. Tell us a little bit more about that.
The TTDI Edible Project isn't an expatriate project. They wanted us to be very clear about that.
We controversy. Hello.
No, it's nothing like that. We approached one of the gentlemen that's involved, which is Christopher De Silva, who's actually from Belize. It was the first time I'd met anyone from Belize. And he and his wife, and then a few others, Eunice Kwa, Susan Tam, have turned this basically rough plot of land in Samantun, where they live, just down the road from where they live, into an edible garden. So it's a really great project. You go down there and you see they've got all sorts of plants, fruits, vegetables growing in what was just a scrap piece of land.
Wow, that's fantastic. Course, that's really interesting, considering that, you know, these sort of sustainable efforts are emerging more and more.
Yep, I like it. It's very nearby as well. Wordworks, a creative writing workshop. Tell us what this project is about.
Yes, Sharon Bucker. I think a few people in the literature scene will know Sharon Bucker. Mm-hmm. She runs her own classes, so anyone from complete novice writer to an experienced writer can go and attend her workshops in Srihatamas and learn how to write, basically, from fiction stories all the way through the whole spectrum.
Now, of course, she's been quite the literature guru when it comes to the Klang Valley. Of course, she hosts readings in Bangsar as well. Absolutely. And that's very well attended. Certainly with her experience at the British Council, this is, you know, something that a lot of people will look into. I guess, you know, speaking about, the expatriate community, depending on what their commitments are here in KL or in Malaysia, there's an assumption about a life cycle about how long these personalities and individuals will be in KL. And of course, you will constantly have a new batch of folks who will have something interesting to say and do.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Obviously, there is that turnover among expatriates. What we're noticing now, really, among our membership and among what we know of the expatriate community, is people are staying in Malaysia for longer. You know, Malaysia's no longer a hardship posting. You go back 10, 15 years ago, and Malaysia was seen as somewhere you might spend 2 to 5 years, and then you go on to somewhere better.
Right.
Sorry about that. Not better.
Yeah.
Now, that was the past. This was the past.
Now, what we find is, obviously, we all know Malaysia's a nice place to live. It's a very comfortable place to live, and more expatriates are staying in Malaysia.
Terrific stuff. Tell us a little bit more about what else is covered in this month's issue of Expatriate Lifestyle that we haven't already covered.
Well, we've got a few things. We speak to an expatriate couple who have built their own home from scratch in the middle of the Ulalangat jungle. So
that's a sentence you don't hear often enough, let alone that
from locals.
Yeah, from locals, right? Yeah.
It's a great story. They purchased a piece of land in Ulalangat. They just wanted to get away from the city.
Yeah.
They were told that their land was up the hill there somewhere. And then they basically spent years cutting it down, manicuring the plot, and now you look inside the magazine, inside the May issue, and you'll see what they've created, which is just incredible.
Terrific stuff. You'll definitely want to pick up this month's issue of Expatriate Lifestyle. I've been speaking to Ian Johnson, the editor. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you, and don't forget to log on to expatriatelifestyle.com.
Oh, look at that. What a seasoned professional. Well done, Ian. Certainly we'll be seeing Lim Chee Wah and Ian, hopefully, in the near future. We've got some more music for you, Calling America by Electric Light Orchestra, right here on the Evening Edition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.